Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parashas Chukas, Vav Tammuz. We have in front of us Parashas Chukas, which on one hand is one of the most difficult parashas to understand, in regards to the Parah Aduma, of course, where the wisest of all men, Shlomo HaMelech, said, I could not comprehend. I was not given the ability by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to understand the Parah Aduma, the Inyan, the Suya Parah Aduma. On the other hand, we are told that Moshe Rabbeinu was given the understanding by HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the Parah Aduma. And the parasha begins, Parashas Chukas, with these words, Zois Vaydavar Hashem El Moshe Vel Aaron Leimar. Hashem speaks to Moshe and Aaron saying, Zois Chukas HaTorah, these are the statutes, the laws of the Torah. Asher Tziva Hashem Leimar, Hashem commanded saying, and he continues with the halachas dabra b'nei Yisrael b'ichoy lecha parah aduma t'mima asher ein b'mum asher loy olo alei ol. Different requirements to make sure what categorizes the parah aduma. Of course, the color. As to make sure it wasn't worked. There's no yoke around, it wasn't worked. Shouldn't the Torah have said, Zois chukas parah aduma? Why does the Torah begin, the parasha begin over here, Zois Chukas HaTorah? This is the decree, the statutes, the laws of the Torah. We're not discussing the Torah in its entirety. We're discussing specifically, just like we have Zois Chukas HaPesach. These are the laws of the Korban Pesach. So let it say Zois Chukas HaParah, referring to the Parah Aduma. This question is asked by many Mefarshim. And the answer, general answer which is given, is the lesson that we have to constantly remind ourselves to life, which we discuss many times. Now, I'll begin with a short story that happened to us just yesterday. I finished davening somewhere, I'm about to go into my car. A person says to me, I'd like to learn with you. If I have any time, this time, that time. That was beautiful. He wants to learn. Well, great, okay, so I have to try to find some time. And in the conversation, the 30-second conversation, he says to me, I want to learn topic A. This I don't get. I don't understand this topic. And he's not saying it in regards to, I don't understand this, so I want to learn it, so I'll understand it. He's asking a question, well, what's going on here? Come on, let's be real. It's like a chayk. Whatever the topic was, it's not the issue. The connotation he's expressing is, come on, if I don't understand it, it's not real. I can't relate to it. So it's good he wants to learn it, but I want to say his starting point is incorrect. We have, the Gemara tells us, Le'olam yilmoy dodom, and the person should also do mitzvahs, shelo lishma, says the Gemara, a person should learn Torah, should do mitzvahs, even if he doesn't do it for the right reasons, at first. Because from not doing for Lashma, he'll come to Lashma, he'll come to do it for the right reasons. My over Shavuos, there was this learning project, where you learn for X amount of hours, I think I might have mentioned this, and then you get some money. I had a gift card of different stores. So, they even have for five-year-olds to learn X amount of hours. So I was little reading over Shavuos, reading with my son, concentrating on how to read the letters, learning the different stories of the parasha for him, with him. How much can the five-year-old do on his own? After Shabbos, or after Shavuos it was, Shavuos was right before Shabbos, that on that Shabbos I said to him, would you like to learn? He says to me, there's no point. I said, what do you mean there's no point? There's no point. It's not Shavuos anymore. I can't get money anymore for it. So what's the point? It's finished. The whole purpose of his learning was a Shelo Lishma. However, the Gemara says, do it anyway. Do it anyway. Learn Shelo Lishma. Shemitah Shelo Lishma Bal Lishma. Explains Rav Dessler, this Shelo Lishma Bal Lishma comes when you begin to learn, or when you begin to do mitzvahs, the mindset should be, in mitzvah Hashem, eventually I should be zoich to come to do my ma'isim lishma. To come to do it for the sake of Hashem, not for my name on the plaque somewhere. I had an uncle who was once in yeshiva, an uncle of Hashem, learning yeshiva, and the yeshiva came to him and said, how's the food? So my uncle, Bachar at the time, said, I'm sorry to say, but it's not too much I could talk about the food. It's not so good. So the Rishi responded, unfortunately, they can't put a plaque on the food. When people donate money, so they like to see their name many times. And it's appropriate, the fact that Rashi says you should put your name out there. But, I mean, the truth is now you can put it on the lunchroom, you know, you put it on something. But he was saying, you know, if there'd be more money for the food might be better. Okay, fine. Coming back to our discussion over here, the question was, Zois Chukas HaTorah, which doesn't seem to be correct. It should be Zois Chukas HaPara Aduma. Answers the Mefarshim, Zois Chukas HaTorah, when we approach any and every mitzvah in the Torah, we should not think we understand, oh, this mitzvah is a mishpat. This mitzvah is a choik. Shatnez, oh, that, okay, listen, who can relate to understand Shatnez? The Torah says it. But you know this mitzvah, I don't get this mitzvah. That doesn't fit well with me. And that's what this person was telling me. Yeah, that doesn't, I don't like it so much. That's what he was telling me. It doesn't fit so well with him. So I'm not comfortable with that mitzvah. The mindset has to be Zois Chukas HaTorah. Whether we understand, whether we don't understand, there's no such thing as I'm comfortable with this mitzvah, I'm not comfortable with that mitzvah. We don't pick and choose. Things might be easier, things might be more difficult. But that's not the issue. The issue is the Ratzon of Hashem. Hashem is the one who commanded 613. Someone pointed out to me yesterday's English date was 613. So this is the message we want to say, we want to bring out. The first message of the parasha, we are being told, it's irrelevant whether or not it strikes me well, doesn't fit with me. That's not the point. The message is, Zois Chukas HaTorah. Everything is a chayk legabi the Torah. We should not have that mindset, I have to understand. Why did Hashem tell me to do this mitzvah? It doesn't make sense to me. I don't like the way it fits, it feels, this and that. That's irrelevant. We don't begin to have that approach. This is the first message I want to share with you this morning. Next point on this week's parasha. Same pasuk. The truth is we could spend hours and hours and hours just on this pasuk alone. But we have to get to the next year as well. Zois Chukas HaTorah, says the Medrash, Kisha'olo Moshe L'moroim, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, Shoma Koyloi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he heard the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem himself, says the Medrash, She'yoyshev V'oyseik B'parashis Parah Aduma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was learning and involved with the Parah Aduma. And he said the halacha, imagine this, imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu is learning the Torah and he quotes you with the halacha is in your name. Imagine this. And he's quoting who the halacha is in. What's the discussion here? How old is the Parah Aduma? How old is this cow? Does it have to be? There are halachas. You can't just take any red cow. Oh, nice color. Oh, beautiful. Let's take it. Can't. Besides the color, there are different age requirements. Just like you go to the amusement park, you have to be a certain height to get on the ride. You have to be a certain age as well. How old is this parah that we're using? So Rabbi Eliezer says, Eglo bashnoso upara bashnasayim. An egel bashnoso. And the parah bashnasayim. That the parah is 2 years old. Shnasayim. Amar lefan of Rabbeinu Olam mihirotzon shehet tzadik zeh miyotzi chalotza. Moshe Rabbeinu hears HaKadosh Baruch Hu learning Torah, and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I dive into you, I have a request, please. You're quoting Rabbi Eliezer as saying that the eagle is only 2 years old, that's the eagle that we use. I want this Rabbi Eliezer to be a descendant of mine. What's the response of Hashem? Chayecha shehu michalatzecha. He will be your descendant. So we have an interesting medrash over here. The medrash tells us that the Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim. He hears the Kodesh Baruch Hu learning about the Paraduma and how old is the Paraduma that we use. And who is he saying the halach in the name of who? And the Rabbi Eliezer is quoted and said that how old is this paro? It's 2 years old. Moshe Rabbeinu is excited about this, and he asks Hashem that this Rabbi Eliezer should be one of his descendants. Hashem responds, "Yes, he will be one of your descendants." Okay. Rav Moshe Sternbach says, "What's going on over here? How do we understand what's going on? Why was Moshe Rabbeinu so excited that he hears HaKadosh Baruch Hu learning Parah Aduma, and he hears the response of Rabbi Eliezer that the eagle is only 2 years old, and therefore he wants that this person should be one of his descendants?" Furthermore, the halacha is not like him. The halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. But rather, the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. That the parah is a three-year-old animal. Correct? The parah is a three-year-old animal. So what is Moshe Rabbeinu so excited about when we don't even paskin like Rabbi Eliezer? That he wants him to be from his descendant of his own? These are the questions that Rabbi Moshe Sternbach asks. To answer this medrash, to clarify this medrash, and what's going on over here, he brings from Itzel Petterberger, Itzel Blauser, and explains as follows. Pasuk says, in regards to the Chatoim, we are now in Tammuz already, as we mentioned. We are approaching what we call the Bein HaMitzarim. If Mashiach will not be here before that, the days of the 3 weeks, which begin on Yudzayim B'Tammuz, as we know. And he brings a pasuk that says, Ki rochatz Hashem is tzoyas bas tzio, and Hashem washes off the tzoya, the dirt, the filth, the excrement of Bas Tzion, referring to Yerushalayim, referring to the children of Bnei Yisrael. And he explains that we all know when you have a little child, a little baby who's smiling at you, and he's very cute, or she's very cute, and you're gaga gooing it, and the baby's laughing at this adult saying, "That's how you talk. Look at you. You're a little silly adult. Listen, hear what you sound like." And we're thinking, "Oh, the baby likes what I say, so we say it more." And the baby's laughing more, thinking the same thing. And then what happens is the baby's what they do. That's what part of the job is. They spit up a little. Or they have to be cleaned, because they take care of their needs. What happens? That same person who was gaga-gooing a minute ago says, oh, you know, I'm a little busy now, I have to go. Who is the one that does not run away? Who is that person that goes over to take care of this little child that just spit up some food that they ate? You know who it is? I'll tell you who it is with the mashal. A few years ago, I was feeding one of my children mango. I might have told you the story. I think I did now that I mentioned it. And I'm cutting the mango and feeding one piece and it's dripping out his mouth, wiping his mouth. And the second piece, delicious mango. Ripe, juicy, nice orange color. Another piece. I said to my child, to my son, I said, who takes care of you? As I'm wiping his mouth, as the mango is coming out, mommy. And I'm thinking, we got it wrong. It's the same thing that happened to me yesterday when I went to pick up my children from the babysitter. I open the door, I come in, mommy. They want to see the mother. So the babysitter said, don't feel so bad. When the mother comes, they say, Abba. So, okay. Explains of Itzla Petterberger that when this baby is all dirty, the mother comes and wipes up the baby and takes care of the child and cleans up this child. While everyone else says, you know, it's a nice, cute baby. Bring me the baby when they're clean. Then I'll play you and gaga goo the baby. The pasuk says, "Ki rochatz Hashem es soyes batzion," that Hashem cleans off the dirt of Bnei Yisrael. When it comes to the mother, there's no such thing as dirt that disgusts the mother. The mother takes away the dirt. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipes away the soyes tzion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also takes away this dirt, the averos that Klai Yisrael might have. What is the foundation? Where does Parah Aduma come from? We know, as Rashi tells us from the Medrash, that the Parah Aduma is coming as to be mechaper for the chait ha'egel. Tovoy ima, says the Medrash, let the mother come, meaning the parot with kaneach, soyas bina, and let the mother clean up the dirt of her child. Who is this child? That's the egel azov. Let the parot duma atone for the chait ha'egel, says the Medrash. Explains further, when Moshe Shtomach brings down that there's so much chatoim that it has to be the mother herself, that comes and cleans up the mess, the shmutz, takes away the averus. And that's why it has to be a parah specifically of a 3-year-old parah. Why? Because then a 3-year-old cow is able to be a mother, is able to have a child. Shirui liyois ima kishe, because now this parah can give birth. So as Neil pointed out, it's a kasha. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu so excited? What's he so excited that this parah, that this memory should this be from Rabbi Elazar, that it's only a 2-year-old cow? And that he should be one of his descendants? And the answer is, because Rabbi Eliezer is saying that Klal Yisrael don't have these chatoim. Rabbi Eliezer is saying that Klal Yisrael are not so full of shmutz. They're not so full of tumah. Not so full of averus. So they don't need specifically the mother. They don't need the mother who can give birth, meaning a cow 3 years old. Because the averus are not so great, they're not so many. To this, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yihi Rotzoin, Hashem, I want this tzaddik to be a descendant of mine. Let's clarify this topic a little more. And let's understand, who was this Rabbi Eliezer? What is this history of this person? And furthermore, what does it make a difference? What does it make a difference whether Rabbi Eliezer is a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu or not? What does that mean? You get some Yiddish and Nachas? What's going on? What does it mean? So let's go back to the beginning, the early days of Rabbi Eliezer, before he was the Rebbe Eliezer. He was just Eliezer. Eliezer was a son of a person by the name of Horkanus. Horkanus was a multimillionaire. Maybe you call him a billionaire. Horkanus was extremely wealthy. He had a son, Eliezer, who was 19, 20 years old, young man, who approached his father and said, "I want to go learn. I want to go learn Torah. I don't really know anything. I don't know my Aleph Beis really. I don't know how to bench. I don't really know how to say Shema well properly." And the father says to him, "My son, I love you. I want what's best for you. I want you to have a parnasa. I want you to have a job. You go and learn Torah. What's going to be with you? How are you going to make a living?" I believe the Medrash continues, Chazal tell us, that he had a person that came to him, and this person was Eliyahu Navi, and told him, go to Yerushalayim. Go to Biyachim and Zakkai, and go learn Torah. Now, before this happened, Horkanus told his son, Eliezer, "By the way, my son that I love so much, if you go, I disown you. You don't get a penny of my money. Even that much I don't give you." Eliezer secretly left, and he went to Yerushalayim. He traveled. Traveling even today to go to Eretz Yisrael is tiresome. Maybe at least you get some food on the plane, fine. You might not like it so much, but it's something. He traveled, didn't have a penny with him. Ate from whatever he was able to find. Traveled. Finally, he came to the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He wants to come learn Torah. Rechem and Zakkai says, "Okay, how much do you know? What mesechta are you learning in yeshiva? Well, what are you up to?" He says, "I'm sorry, I not holding anywhere. I don't know. So what parsha are you? What something mishnah? What are you learning? What are you up to?" And he tells him, "I don't know anything." Rechem and Zakkai, the Godol Hador, the leader of the generation, teaches him Aleph Beis. Teaches him, this is not to be confused with Rabbi Akiva, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer. This is Rabbi Eliezer, his Rebbe. He teaches him Aleph Beis, he teaches him Shema, he teaches him how to bench, and he says to him, "You know how to read now, you know how to bench, go back to your father. Go back home now." Rabbi Eliezer says, "That's not what I came for. I didn't come for the basics. I came to be a Talmud Chacham." And he says to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, "I want to stay." And he stays. And everything he learns, he tries to understand. And it's not staying in, it's going out. day after day, he puts in the time and the effort. And then Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai finds out that he doesn't have the proper accommodations. Physically, he's in rags. Doesn't really have enough food to eat. And he's ma'isen nefesh. This is literally ma'isen nefesh. To give, to learn, to understand the Torah. And he takes care of these physical needs that he requires. In the meantime, back home, Horkness, his father, says, "What's going on? I haven't seen my son. He runs in the fields." He found out that he ran away. He went to Yerushalayim. He went to go learn Torah. And Horkness says, "I'm going to go to the Beis Din, and I'm going to make it official. I'm going to document it that my son will not get one penny of mine." And he's excited about this, and he starts his trip to Yerushalayim. When this happens, at the same time, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai sees this Eliezer working day after day to learn, to understand. And he gets wind, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, that this father, Horkness, is coming. And he knows why he's coming. And he decides to make a whole plan, to set up a Yom Hilulo L'Rabbanan, a day of great celebration, to celebrate the Torah. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai has a plan that when this Horkness comes, he's going to see the truth of who his son has become. And eventually he comes back, he comes to Yerushalayim, and he tells the Talmidim that when this certain person by the name of Horkness comes to the Beis Medrash, don't let him sit in the back. Tell him there's no room over here. Push him up to the next row in the front. And then all those people who sit in the next row in the front, tell him, "No, I'm sorry, you can't sit here. Go to the next row in the front." Eventually bump him up all the way to the front. And he's sitting by the dais. He's sitting with the greatest Talmidei Chacham of the generation. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, "I want to call upon someone to come give a shiur." And he goes over to Eliezer. And he says to Eliezer, "I want you to come give a shiur in front of the Beis Medrash today, right now." And he says, "Me? The Kodesh Shebiktanim? What are you asking me for?" Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, "I want you to give a shiur." The Rebbe says, "Come give a shiur. How many times can you say no?" In the meantime, his father is sitting up front. Eliezer comes to stand by the shtender in the front. And he starts giving a shiur. He starts shining. He goes on and on with beautiful Torah. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, when he's finished, he comes up and he says, "Ashrecha Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. How fortunate you, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, that you have a descendant, a son like this, who is able to be a Marbitz Torah B'Rabim, to give Torah in public. Ashrecha," and he calls out his name, "Eliezer ben Horkanus." And Horkanus is thinking, what's going on here? That's my son. That's my son? That's the son I came to disown? And he runs over and he begs forgiveness from his son. This is the beginning of who Rabbi Eliezer turned into, the great Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. And this is the person that Moshe Rabbeinu was so excited that he sees in Klal Yisrael, this Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, that Klal Yisrael don't have so many chatoim. You don't need a mother to come and clean up this baby. You don't need the mother because he's not so dirty with Averus. That's why you can have an Egel Bashnasayim. An Egel that's only 2 years old does not have to be roi to give birth, does not have to be able to have a child. One more question just to conclude with, which we asked. What does it make a difference? What does it make a difference? Whether or not this Eliezer, this Rabbi Eliezer, is a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu or not. So to this question, I want to share with you, going back to last week's parasha. Last week's parasha says, in the beginning of the parasha, Vayikach Koyrach ben Yitzhar ben Kohos ben Levi. Koyrach, what's his lineage? He's ben Yitzhar ben Kohos ben Levi. Who's Levi's father? Yaakov. So why does it stop there? So you could say, well, how much we should mention Yaakov, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Avram, until when? You could say that. Or we could remind ourselves of the Chazal that Yaakov Avinu saw Baruch Kodshoi that there will be a Koyrach. And Yaakov Avinu davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yaakov Avinu davened to Hashem that his name should not be mentioned when this Maisa of Koyrach takes place. Vayikach Koyrach ben Yitzhak ben Kos ben Levi ad kan. There is no mention of Yaakov Avinu. So what does it make a difference? I mean, we all know. You ask everybody. Ask any little child. Who's Levi's father? Well, it's Reuven, Shimon, Levi. They all have the same father. It's Yaakov. Well, the mother, okay, I have to remember. This one's from Leah. This one's from Rachel. We all know the father is Yaakov Avinu. So what is it, Yaakov Avinu davening that his name should not be mentioned? We all know who it is. What's making a difference if his name's not mentioned? In the Sefer Lekach V'Alibov, he explains, he brings down from the Mefarshim, you want to know why Yaakov Avinu was davening that his name should not be mentioned? Yikach, Koyrach, Ben Yitzhak, Ben Kos, Ben Levi, and Ad Kan, up until there, no more? Because the actions of the descendants of a person can affect the place in Shemayim where the ancestor is. Explain this halakha chvalibuv, Rav Avram Shor, from the previous sources. And that being the case, Yaakov Avinu wasn't just davening, his name should not be there. Vayikach Koyrach ben Yitzhak ben Kos ben Levi. We know he's the father of Levi. He was davening that the Maisa Koyrach should not affect him in Shemayim. Ben Levi of Ad Kan, no more. It should not affect my Mokum, where my Kirvas Elokim, the actions of descendants can affect their ancestors. And perhaps this is why Moshe Rabbeinu is davening to Hashem. That perhaps Hashem, if you can fulfill my request, that this Eliezer, this Rebbe Eliezer, who worked so hard to get to that state where he was in his life, who sees Klal Yisrael with the Ayin Toiv, with a positive eye, that they don't have so many chatoim. And he teaches us this is how we should view Klal Yisrael. We should look at Klal Yisrael in a positive sense. I want him to be one of my descendants. And perhaps he will help me get even closer, more kirvas elokim. Because if he is my descendant, as we just explained, Vayikach Koyrach ben Yitzhak ben Kos ben Levi, Yaakov didn't want to have a negative effect of a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from one of his descendants. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to have a positive effect. It should be from one of his descendants. So it should enhance his closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Olam HaEmes. And it's a beautiful lesson for us to take out from here that we all have a tremendous responsibility on our shoulders to realize the result and our actions are not just over here in this world, but we are connected to the Olamos, to our ancestors, our previous generations. And the coming to learn Torah that we all come today, and every day we come to learn Torah, is Talmud Torah, is Kenegad Kulam, is the greatest schus we can do for our ancestors. Talmud Torah is Kenegad Kulam. a lot to think about from this week's parasha. Thank you.